This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're tired of spending money on trail cameras you use as tools only to find out they're built like freaking toys, or you've struggled with unreliable, not so dependable cameras or experienced customer service that flat out disappointed you, I've been there. Those problems literally birthed Exodus 8 years ago when they shipped their first camera. Exodus had a clear desire to not only build elite products that enabled you to set it and forget it all season long, but also to back them like no other company was willing to, with an unmatched level of customer service and support. See for yourself why Exodus has over 15,000 satisfied customers. They've quickly become known for their 5-year no BS warranty, quality cameras, and best-in-class customer service. You heard that right. Exodus believes in their products so much, every single camera is backed by a 5-year warranty that includes theft and accidental damage coverage. Each camera is checked for quality control standards before it leaves the warehouse. They wouldn't use it, you don't get it. Exodus is so confident you'll love your new Exodus camera, they're offering you, the listener of this show, 15% off your next order today. Just use code BTE. If you don't love it, get your money refunded in the first 30 days and just send her back. Exodus really has two excellent cell cam options for all budgets, and they start at just $179, plus you're 15% off there. You use the code BTE. They have competitive data plans that allows you to purchase a plan and use the data as you see fit. They want you to be in control. There's no annual commitment and no limit on how many cameras you can run on one plan. You can share cameras with friends, no charge, which makes the Exodus lineup a great option for hunting clubs and leases. There are no additional fees for HD photo requests. That's pretty nice. No additional fees for video uploads. And all cameras share data on a single data plan for easy management. See for yourself why so many have made the switch to Exodus and experienced the Exodus difference. Use code BTE to get 15% off your next order today. Now let's talk about Osseo Gear. It's a great option for whitetail hunters. They develop a premium line of bow hunting gear that will rival any other clothing on the market in quality. Plus, you got a lifetime warranty on anything you buy from Osseo, which is pretty nice. They have a super unique camo pattern and great technology in their garments to keep you comfortable in the stand. So visit asiogear.com, get you some premium hunting clothing. Gotta talk to you about Stealth Outdoors, makers of Stealth Strips. Stealth strips really are a product that any hunter, whether you're a weekend warrior or a guy that hunts almost every day, really needs to take advantage of. The stuff absolutely deadens your gear to make it essentially noise-free. If you haven't checked out Stealth strips yet, stop buying all the other crappy alternatives like the hockey tape and any other stuff you're trying to use to silence your gear. Get the good stuff. Get Stealth strips. Visit stealthoutdoors.com. Pick you up some Stealth strips. All my partners are linked in the description below. Go check them out. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Everybody, we got Jake Belinda on tonight. We usually do this at night, so that's why I screwed that up. But today,
yeah,
or whenever you're watching this. I get a lot of questions over the last few years about filming my hunts, what cameras I should get, you know, how do I do it, this and that.
And I met Jake. We met this deer season in Ohio, and Jake kind of does filming deer hunts for a living.
A little bit of everything.
Yep. And he was real knowledgeable about it. So I thought we'd get on here and just chit chat back and forth about filming your hunts and give you guys like recommendations on gear and different budgets that, you know, people may have and kind of give recommendations on what you should or shouldn't buy with that money. And Jake would be way better, or at least be able to give way more options than I can, or have more knowledge than I do about it. So
yeah.
Thanks for getting on, dude.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. Try to help people out and save money where they can and spend money where they should.
Yeah.
That's the biggest
thing. The camera world and the filming world, the options in that are like overwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, this is year five or six for me. And I remember when I first started, it was overwhelming, and it still is.
Yeah.
Keeping up with technology. It's never ending, but it's just a learning curve that if we can fast track a couple guys and, you know, with this podcast, then maybe it'll help somebody out.
Yeah. And that's the goal of it. And like, for example, like Sony, me and you were talking about Sony cameras, just texting back and forth the other day. It's like, they probably have how many options for DSLR cameras right now, or mirrorless cameras? They probably have, you got a dozen of them, maybe.
And that's if you go into I bet you there's 30.
Yeah.
If you start really diving in to each model.
Yeah. And discontinued models and stuff that are still available and whatnot. Yeah. So it's crazy. I'm trying to think how we want to start this, Jake. There's a thing going on in recent years where people are filming deer hunts with their cell phones. Yeah. And I was a little bit, not surprised, but you were even saying you film a lot of yours, even as a professional filmer, you film a lot of your stuff with your phone. So yeah. I want to talk about phones a little bit and kind of give people an idea of like, how much should I say before I buy something that's better than my phone, and what isn't better than my phone for filming.
Yeah. So, for me anyway, why I continue to use a cell phone is strictly because it's something you use every day and it just seems more natural. So a lot of guys are used to being on their phone, so it's easier to just pull out of your pocket than get your camera out of your bag or take it along into a tree or something like that. So it's just you're more comfortable with it. So the more comfortable you are with something, the more you're going to actually use it. So I think that's where a cell phone really comes in handy. I use it for just point and shoot stuff all the time. Any digital social media stuff, you'll see me grab my instead of getting my big camera out, I'll just use my cell phone because it's right there. The sound quality is pretty good. It's usually just face to face for those point and shoot moments.
Yeah. And do you film like hunts with do you have a setup on a camera arm or anything for your phone, or do you just use it as a handheld?
Yeah, no, I don't use my phone. When it comes down to like any of the action, I have enough gear and things that I don't use the cell phone anymore. The only thing I use a cell phone for, and you'll see it at Western hunts, people use them for maybe filming through a spot and scope it's more the face-to-face interaction stuff is what the cell phone's really good for. And then if you have to film, you can film a hunt entirely with a cell phone. It's just, I don't have the setup for it because I'm beyond that,
right
in my level, so to speak. So, but if you're just starting out, a cell phone, in my opinion, is one of the best ways to start filming your own hunts.
Yeah. Well, and it's like a lot of people don't want to hear that, right? They want to a lot of people want to have something to buy,
but 100%.
But the fact of the matter is maybe you don't agree with this, but I just grabbed this. I got this old handy cam here. It's a Panasonic handy cam. It's like $300 or $400, you know. Like this thing probably isn't as good as my phone now. You know, maybe 10 years ago it was, but now I'm kind of downgrading in quality from my phone. So like that those days of going to Walmart and buying like a little Canon handy cam or something, it's like I don't know if I'd spend your money on that anymore.
Yeah, there's a certain level that I wouldn't drop below in price range, and that's probably that $1,000 mark.
Yeah,
because then you're just getting into bait, like you said, the handy cams. In my opinion, they're junk, because they don't have good optics in them. They don't have good stabilization. I mean, there's nothing really in there that they're cheap for a reason. They're mass produced and they're just kind of thrown out there for people to grab. They're more or less for like birthday parties and things like, you know, you're taught when your kid takes his first couple steps or something like that. But in terms of when you're in the elements filming in the woods, they're not going to do, I mean, you'll see guys on YouTube still try to zoom all the way in on something with a handy cam and you can get, it gets so pixelated and blurry. You can tell it's a buck or something, but you can't tell anything else. Everything just kind of all the pixels get mashed together.
Yeah. And anymore, like some of the cell phones have really good zoom options that aren't, you know, they're not great either, but they're just as good as a handy cam.
Yes.
So that was like a big point I wanted to make. Cause I get a lot of people like, I got $500. What should I buy? I'm like, ugh, man.
I keep saving.
Yeah.
And that's just, I mean, this is my personal opinion on all of it. I like the little bit higher quality stuff, just because nobody, I mean, you want to be able to go back and let's say you are a guy that's filming for the first time and you just want to show your family, your friends, like, oh, look at this 10 point I seen, but you go and you zoom all the way in on it. You can't even count how many points it has. Like It could be a 10, it could be an 8. It could have a kicker. You have no idea. And what was, you know, you see my point where,
yeah,
if you just save the extra couple $100, then you have that little better quality and then you have a more better user experience. And that's kind of what you're after anyway.
Yeah. For guys that want to film with their phones, Jake, like what kind of phone do you like or what's good specs on a phone?
Well, I just upgraded to the brand new iPhone. And here's the thing about filming with a cell phone, right? If guys, if you're out there listening, why not invest into a brand new cell phone? Because one, now you have a brand new you have a cell phone that you're going to use all the time. And then two, the video qualities of it. I don't know the exact specs in terms of like the zoom. So like the iPhone 15 has like 9 to 15X. Yeah. I don't know the megapixels and things like right. that. Dove in, but it's high quality enough that I'm not afraid to use it. But the cell phone, that's why I keep going back to the cell phone, because it's saved right there and that's what you're going to be watching it on most likely anyway, until then as we get farther down this discussion onto computers, softwares, things like that. Most guys are going to want to just, and that's the thing about handy cams, then you have to have a computer. How are you going to transfer that from a computer to your cell phone to be able to watch, to show your buddies?
Yeah.
It's going to that's what happens to a lot of guys. I have friends that do it. They film with one of those handy cams or something. And now they just have it on an SD card. And they're like, I don't know how to get this off of the SD card onto my computer and then onto the computer, onto my phone so I can actually watch it. There's a lot of steps. So that's why I tell all guys, if you're going to invest in money, might as well go with a cell phone first. You have a good cell phone that can take good pictures, good video, and you can, you know, that's a great starting point.
Yeah. Let's talk about before we get into like buying actual camera gear, let's talk about computers and whatnot. Like, I get, you know, a lot of people will, you know, they'll message me and ask me about, I want 4K. And I'm like, okay, you have a computer that you can, you know, watch 4K on or download or edit 4K video on. Because what's, you know, 4K is essentially, what is it, Jake? Is like, it's four times the quality of 1080, right?
Yeah. So the way I break it down, 4K, just and how I explained it to you is basically if you take a quadrant and you split it into four sections right down the middle, you can zoom into just one of those four quadrants and that's 1080p. That's the quality. So basically if you have a deer that you're zoomed all the way in and it only takes up a quarter of the screen, you can zoom in to make it almost the entire size of the screen without losing any quality at 1080p.
Yeah.
Which is perfectly good quality. And that's what most actually YouTube videos you watch are in 1080, they're, unless they download them and upload them into 4K, which a lot don't do because of the, how much extra space, and you can get all into the file sizes. But 1080p is pretty much what everybody watches on.
Yeah. And the problem with shooting in 4K is your standard computer that you go to Best Buy or Walmart and buy won't be able to handle it. There won't be enough space or memory or RAM on it.
It's not a, it's not only the 4K, excuse me, but the, sorry,
just got You're good. Sick. Jake's getting over being sick.
But it's the color coding in it. So that that's what they, it can't render. So a lot of the computers is not just the 4K, but the underlying files, basically that. So I shoot in, let's say, 10-bit or 12-bit raw footage. You're running the mill HPs that you can get Walmart or Target or something for $300-$500. They're just not going to be able to handle that that file. And it's just going to give you an error. So then you have to proxy it, and you're going to, you're just going to run into a world of troubles, and you're going to get a headache and ultimately not do anything with the footage.
Yeah. Yeah. So keep that in mind. Whenever you're thinking about buying something, and just use your phone.
Yeah, I know. I had a friend of mine that did that. He didn't upgrade his computer. He upgraded his can. I mean, he was pretty intermittent level, with his camera gear, like, knows what he's doing, bought higher quality stuff because he saved up, but then he went to dump it on his computer and his computer wouldn't even read it. So he has to then basically sit on files until he can upgrade a computer to be able to handle it. You know, so it's just another expense that he has to, once you get to a certain threshold, you're going to have not just one expense to jump to the next level. It's like three or four.
Yep. Well, and, I, like, how much was your editing computer? I mean, I know mine, I think mine cost me $4,000.
Yeah. I think $29.99, $23,000, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. You're talking about the same price as a, like a really high quality camera you're going to spend on a computer to be able to work with this, that footage. So keep that in mind before you go out and buy a big fancy camera.
Yes.
Okay, Jake. So let's, I'm going to give you a scenario. Let's say I'm Joe Blow and I've been filming with my iPhone for a couple of years now. I really like it, and I'm going to make a leap. I got a computer that can keep up with whatever I want. I want to buy my first nice camera. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend guys getting for their first good camera?
The first thing I would ask is like the price range that they're, you know, because I mean, a nice camera, if they're going to shoot film just hunts, I would say that $1,000 to $1,500 mark is like that sweet spot.
Yeah. For your first camera outside of your phone.
Your first camera outside of your phone. I like the capabilities of, you know, Sony point and shoot cameras. I think they're called the ZV E10 is a really good one. You're not going to get the zoom. Now you're not going to get that super zoom quality where you can zoom in to something that's out there 300-400 yards. That's what you're going to be spending a lot of money on, is that reaching out to see what a subject is. But that's that point and shoot Sony is right out of $1,000, I think.
It's the ZV-1, I think it's what's called.
Is it the ZV-1?
Yeah, the ZV E10 is a mirrorless is their interchangeable lens camera.
Oh, okay. I knew it was ZV something. ZV1.
Here, I'll do this for people. This will be a good idea. Give me a second, Jake. I'm gonna go to B&H and just share my screen for people. And then while you're getting these, I can like pop them up so people can kind of reference that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that ZV1, if it's the ZV1 that I'm thinking of, you can completely film an archery hunt with that. And not only that, it has the megapixels to take those good, you know, after shots that you're looking for, you know, that, that trophy grip and grin. Yeah. Right there. It's 748.
Yeah.
I mean, that's perfect for if you're going to be your first camera, it's small, fits in your pocket. It's not going to be bulky. It's going to be lightweight. So you don't have to maybe spend the money. Like what we're going to talk about here in a little bit is like camera arms. It can fit on pretty much any camera arm. It's light. That's going to be probably my number one that I point guys towards for archery hunting, specifically your first camera.
I filmed a bunch of deer hunts with this camera. 2 years ago, this is the only thing I used to film deer hunts with this little camera right here.
It's super light, isn't it?
It's literally, it's smaller than your cell phone. Like it's thicker, but the footprint isn't very big. I mean, you can literally fit it in your pocket.
It's not super, super high quality stuff, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. It's good. Good enough for YouTube or whatever you want to use it for.
Yeah, exactly. If you can tell what the subjects are, you can film, you know, deer with, and as soon as they get that 60, 50 yard mark, that's what you're looking for in an archery setting. You're not trying to film something 200-300 yards away and rifle seat. You know, if you're sitting in a box blind, that's now you're getting into different subjects. But, and then basically from there, I would jump to like maybe it's called an NX70. It's another Sony. You'll hear me going back to Sony a lot just because I like Sony. I've owned Sony equipment things. It's treated me very well. It would be the ZV or NX, maybe try the NX80.
Yeah. I think the 70 is the old model now.
Is it the old model? Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is 3-4 years ago. So I don't know what there the equivalent is. So that's going to the next jump up in terms of just a point and shoot. That's the 90. So there's one in between there.
There's a used one for $1,700.
There you go. That's what I mean. You go from like 1,000 and then there's nothing really in between there besides maybe a 6,500, which is an interchangeable lens system, but the point and shoots, that's what I would go with. And if everybody probably knows the hunting public, they've been using an NX90 for the past 5 years on their film.
Yeah.
So that's the quality that they continue to use is that NX90, which is the next point and shoot, which is what I would say for guys, if they're going to want to really film their hunts. Now you're getting a little bit bigger in size, but that's covering pretty much all your bases for that.
Yeah.
The only downside is it doesn't do photo. So where the ZV1, it does photo and video. So you can still take those, you know, grip and grin shots.
Right. Yeah. And this is probably 15 times bigger than that ZV1.
Yeah, it is. The in-between stuff that now there is, I mean, I've seen some pretty good handy cam things. The
AX53 100
53. Yeah. They're at that $1,200 mark. It's somewhere in there, if I believe. They're pretty good, but you need a little bit better external microphone to go along with that camera. And the same thing with that ZV1. I would upgrade the microphone system in it just so you can get that higher quality sound. And then you can start diving into all the accessories.
This is the AX700. They don't even make these anymore, I don't think. But I think that's the one you're talking about.
Yep,
it has the one-inch sensor.
Yep. That's the exact one I'm talking about. That's a great point-and-shoot camera. It's lighter. That's pretty much it for what I know in terms of the point-and-shoot stuff, that little bit lower quality, you know, not lower quality, but lower budget.
Yeah.
Under $1,500, like you said, that NX80 you can get used on sites, Facebook Marketplace. You can get them on any Adorama, B&H. For that $1,600 mark, $1,500 mark, and everything. Those other two options are, you know, $1,000 to $1,500.
And maybe it's just me, but handy cams or these camcorders, they're a thing. Like companies aren't making these anymore either.
No.
It doesn't seem like. I mean, every one we looked at is discontinued now, and these are the newest models.
Well, that's basically the reason behind that is because the next level of is that Sony interchangeable lens system, the E-mount stuff, which is basically you get into the A7 Mark III, and now you're getting into more, not the professional level, but it's user-friendly enough that it's easier to figure out. And there's so many out there on the market now. They took over that handycam market.
Yeah.
The reason I tell people to get away from handycam stuff is because once you buy it and use it, you're going to get a little bit of use out of it and realize it's not exactly what you want. And now it has no resale value. Because you can't get rid of a camera that was cheap to begin with, and now it's even cheaper. And a lot of guys are just gonna say, why would I spend $1,000 for something that's used that doesn't do what I want? I can just save an extra $500, upgrade by 10 times and have brand new.
Yeah.
So that's why you got to be really careful when buying that first camera. In my opinion, that Sony ZV-1 is like the first, that's like the best one I think out there for the bang for your buck.
You'd rather use that ZV-1 than the AX700 then for you. They have the same sensor size and all that too. You're not losing anything like that. You lose zoom obviously, but.
In my opinion, like I archery hunt a lot and you do too. That's the main place where most guys are going to be filming their hunts is archery hunting, you know, point and shoot stuff when they're shooting their bow in their yard. They're not trying to get out there 100+ yards.
Yeah.
So that's
you don't need a 10x zoom on something like that.
You're going to start spending money when you get in that 10x plus. Like that's where I spend a lot of my money too, is that reaching out and being able to see what the subject is.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about, let's say a guy has this camera here, they have the AX700 and they're ready to go all out. Well, let me ask you this before we go there. Is it worth, like, in your opinion, would a guy be okay with getting the A6500 and a decent lens next? Or would you go ahead and just jump up to like full frame A7, you know, S2 or 3 or whatever?
At this point, with technology and what's out there, is I would go ahead and just jump up to the A7 Mark II or Mark III. And the reason being is because they've been out on the market long enough that you're going to be able to find used ones if you're going to go that route, or brand new, they're still pretty cheap. I think the A7 III was my camera that I ran for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. That's what I ran. I mean, there's so many guys in the industry that run that camera because it's a dual purpose film photo camera that you can do pretty much anything you want with it.
Yeah.
That's what I learned for 2 years on. And that's what I basically got me to the point. And I succeeded to basically the level of that camera, the capabilities. And then I had to upgrade from there, but it took me a while to get past that. The camera's capabilities.
Yeah. And I mean, they're cheaper than that A7 or AX700 now. Like your used market here is $1,200 ish, you know?
Yeah. And that's just on B&H. I mean, you can, I've seen them on, you know, Facebook Marketplace everywhere for $1,000.
Oh yeah. Yep.
If you're going to buy one online, simply ask the shutter count. If you get up into those 40,000 shutter count, 50,000 shutter count, it's kind of like miles on a vehicle. That's when it starts breaking down the camera a little bit more. And I would shy away from those super high shutter count cameras, the 60, 70, 80,000, over 100,000 is no question. Which is basically how many times the shutter was
clicked.
Sports photographers that just sit there and rap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Their cameras aren't really good for resale.
Yeah.
They use and abuse them.
Let's answer one of these questions real quick.
Yep.
Jake, before we get too much farther, Eric Kieska, what do you have to look for in a camera to know if it will be good in low light?
It's going to be the sensor, but then it depends on if you're running a mirrorless camera or a handycam style is going to be the f-stop value. So it's basically its focal distance. So, you know, the number, you always see the number F2.8, F3.5, the 5.6.
Yeah.
The lower the f-stop, the better the low light capabilities. And then, your ISO is basically a false lighting setting. So that false lighting that's put into the camera, anything that's over like 16,000 to 32,000, that you're going to start noticing a lot of pixelization. It's going to look fuzzy. It's all the noise in the image. It's going to be that low light capability is the hardest thing to spend money on, because that's where it gets pricey really fast.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the, like on this, like for example, this, the AX700, which is the nicest handy cam you can get essentially.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the f-stop on that. Let me share it.
I don't know if I don't know if it'll tell you or not.
There's a shutter speeds, focal length. That's 9.3 f-stop. 2.8 to 4.5 right here.
So it's going to have decent low light capabilities when it's zoomed all the way out. So if you're trying to get that low light zooming in, it's going to jump up to that 4.5 or in between, which is basically going to cut light. Does that make sense?
Yep. So if it's the last light and you got a deer coming in to, you know, you want to zoom out, and for this particular camera, your f-stop's going to go down to 2.8. If you zoom in 5x or whatever on the camera, that's whenever you're going to get into that.
And it's going to look darker because it's basically, picture the front of the camera being an iris. As you get far and your face is this, you know, the light sensor. As you zoom away from it, it's smaller to see through. As that you bring it back, more light's going to come to you. So that's what you're looking at in terms of a camera. But that low light capability is really hard, because then it's where you're going to spend money. It's just one of those things that in cameras, there's a couple cent, you know, like the A7S3, they're more expensive. That's professional level, but that's why they are what they are, because they are made for that super low light stuff. That's what they're designed for.
Yep. And that, like the ZV1, the little point shoot you recommended, that has a f-stop down to 1.8.
That's what I thought. 1.8 to, I think, 3.5.
It's 2.8. It says 1.8 to 2.8 is the maximum aperture.
There you go. That's good. That's going to be really good low light compared to the other option that you just showed.
Yeah. And it's $1,000 less.
Yeah.
You know, well, new price, $1,000 less.
That's why I tell guys to go to that camera. I know guys that's used it. And it's a great little camera for guys to use.
And the focal length essentially is 24 to 70, which isn't like a great zoom, but it's decent.
Yeah.
So
you can, like I said, up to about 100 yards, you'll be able to see what it's on. You know, you put it on a computer, you'll be able to tell what that is at 100 yards, 120 yards.
All right. We're looking at the A7 III right now. Before we get into more, even better quality. Let me get back to sharing my screen here. So this A7 III.
Yep.
We're gonna have to about $1,000 for a used one. But that's not with a lens.
No.
So what lens would you recommend if you had one lens to pick?
If I had to pick just one singular lens, I would have to go with a 24 to 240.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
It's a Sony lens.
Yep.
This one right here.
Yep. Brand new. It's another $1,000, but it that zoom capability to 240 millimeters is what's going to, you know, that's what's going to get the crisp photos and videos that you want. You'll be able to zoom way in on a deer. If they're at 75 yards, you can zoom in to just its head if you want with that 240.
Yeah. Yeah. And 24 millimeter on a full frame camera, that's good enough to where you could get back enough to do like a little.
That's basically what we're on right here. 24.
Yeah. What we're vlogging type.
You see us. Yep.
It's a little tight for vlogging, but it still would be good if you had it on a, you know, if you want to do an interview in the stand or whatever.
Yep. That lens right there is what I broke my teeth on, so to speak. I ran that with the A7 III. I had a microphone on it and a little bit better mic, and that's basically what I did. Everything up and from 2018, 2019, into 2020 is basically what I did everything with.
Let me ask you this: so the aperture on this is the 3.5 to 6.3.
Yep.
But I would still like the low light capabilities of this is still way better than that ZV1, correct?
Yes. And it's because of the sensor that's in the camera itself. Yes. that you're putting it onto. There's multiple factors. Once you get into that little bit higher quality, the sensor capabilities are going to be able to bring in a little bit better light than just an f-stop value. But the big thing I also wanted to say about that lens, is the fact that if you've seen that OSS beside it,
mm-hmm.
3.5 to what is it? 5.6 OSS. That's optical steady shot, which is basically takes out that little bit of handshake if you're going to hand self film, you know, like if you're just going to hold it, it's going to take out that little bit of wobble.
Yeah.
So
right.
It's built into that lens.
Yeah.
Another really good lens is a 24 to 105. Which is another one that I run a lot. It's kind of another do-all lens. It's a little bit more expensive. It's a little bit higher quality, but that's the reason being is because it's a little bit, it's a constant aperture.
Okay.
But that being said,
okay. So you're not losing your aperture when you go to 105 millimeters.
No, it stays at that f4 really? Value.
Yeah.
But what's nice about that lens specifically is the fact that you can be really close to a subject and get like really close details.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want to, like you always see pictures of just people's eyeballs, like, you know, slow motion blinking and things like that. That's what that, I can do that with that lens right there because it, you know, how close I can get to a subject and I can even zoom into 105.
Yeah. So it just depends what you want. If you want something that you can reach out there a little farther, you'd probably go with the 240. 240.
Yep.
If you want something that's a little better, high quality. Yep. And like, we're talking like, I don't know how to say this, but like you're a professional at this. I don't know if the average guy is going to be able to tell a difference between those two lenses, right?
They're not going to, yeah. I'm going to be able to tell. You might be able to tell, but the guys, run-of-the-mill guys, aren't going to be able to tell. It's just the small, intricate detail stuff that I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some cheap, all the kit lens stuff out there, the 18, the
55 or whatever they always are.
Yeah. I mean, they're just, in my opinion, they're just not really good for much besides a studio lens.
Yeah.
You have a
controlled environment. Yeah.
Yes. Controlled lighting, controlled everything. That's the only thing that they're really good for.
Yeah. So we need to talk about full frame versus crop sensor cameras a little bit. Cause I know that's something that's like a little bit hard to understand for people when you're looking at these cameras. What's a disadvantage? Like, cause we talked about, you would just go from, if you're going to go from a self or the ZV1 say to something like this, you would just skip over the crop sensor cameras. Why is that? I guess exactly.
they used to be a lot So like, let's say the APC format cameras, the crop censored ones, the, mm-hmm. the cheaper Sony cameras, they used to be a lot better. And they were basically that perfect middle of the road, but now the price points of used, full frame cameras are the same price. So why wouldn't you jump to that full frame?
Right. Like this is Sony's cheapest mirrorless. And I mean, it's, you're looking at $800.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. $700 for the,
and a full, and the full frame A7 III.
No, $300.
Yeah. For a used one. I mean, why would you not, you see what I'm saying? Like there's no real reason to cut yourself short on so many aspects, because then you got to start understanding different things with the crop censored stuff.
Yep. So you throw, let's say you have that 24 to 105 lens and you throw that on this crop censored Sony camera, your lens isn't 24 to 105 anymore. It's like 40 to, or what, not 40. It'd be like 30 something. 30,
to, yeah. It'd be like 35 to.
It's like 1.6 times.
Everyone's a little different. Like Lumix is a little different than others.
Yeah. I think Sony's 1.5 and Canon's 1.6. And it's,
that's what I mean. So it, why I tell guys to not even look at them is because you're going to start doing what we're doing now. You're going to dive down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
That you, and why even confuse yourself? You see what I mean? Like, I do this stuff for a living, and I don't want to get into the micro four thirds with
Lumix,
because it's just, it's not, unless you get brought up through that, and understand it completely and set your entire like self up with that, there's no reason to even get into that little bit of a rut to try to understand something that you're going to end up getting out of, and now you have to learn something else.
Yep. All right. Let's keep her moving before we get too nerdy on this stuff. That's a, that setup we just talked about now, that A7 III with that lens, that is like as good a quality for YouTube and stuff. Really? Oh, yeah. That would be, that's, you know, that's a better camera than like the guys like, you know, that Hunting Public uses, that, that NX90 or whatever.
They've used the NX90 for so long, and it, because they have it rigged out for their shoulder strap. It's a rip, and
but we're just saying, I'm just giving you a reference. Like those guys are using that camera. This camera is, you can do more with the camera Jake just talked about.
Yep.
Okay. Now I want to be a baller. I want to get the best I can get. What camera are you going to tell a guy to buy, like for filming hunts?
I would, probably the A7 S3 is the, that's been like the standard, one of the best out there for Sony wise.
Mm-hmm.
The low light capabilities of that, has been absolutely killer. That is like the straight, when you see guys like, go look up Micah Morgan and the stuff he's been doing, he's been doing that magic with that camera for years. He's now into like a little bit higher quality FX6.
Yeah.
You can, that, now you're getting into the professional level where these guys, this is all they do. They're going to spend the money, the $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000. There's some cameras that I just looked up that are $25,000, $30,000 cameras. You can get lost in it.
Yeah. Jake, like, why would a guy need to upgrade to the AS or A7 S3 versus the A7 III? Like, I guess, what are you getting out of this A7 S3?
The low light capabilities of the camera. So the S stands for sensitivity, sensitivity to light. So it brings in light so much better. And that, and it's the sensor that's built in on that little, you know, on the X, the square on the front of the camera is built for light, to bring that light in, compared to the A7 III, and that's basically why the price difference is what it is the bodies are the exact same. If you don't notice, they look pretty much identical.
Yep.
What you're paying for is the internals.
Yeah. And I think, does this have a 12 megapixel sensor?
12.1, yes.
12.1, and then the A7 III would have, I think it's 20, maybe 22.
Yeah, 23.5 or maybe.
Yeah.
It's 24 maybe.
Yeah. Would you say the A7 III is a better, like hybrid camera than this one? Like, if you wants to take good pictures too, you'd want the A7 III. This A7 S3 is not for taking pictures, really. I mean, you can, obviously.
I take quite a few photos with it.
Yeah.
But it's not, it's meant for just digital.
Yeah.
And video, it's not meant for, like, if I take pictures with that camera, I'm not going to blow them up and try and print them or do anything. Like, they...
Right. The megapixels are too small.
Yeah. Instagram, you can't really tell.
Yeah.
But beyond that, it's not really made for it.
Yeah.
I would say the best right now, the best hybrid photo video camera out there is the A7 Mark IV.
Which is just the upgrade from the A7 III.
It's just upgrade from the III.
Yeah.
But with the guys not understanding, you know, if they're going to go for their first camera, they might not understand all the buttons. And it's a little bit, see how it's an intermittent price range.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always lean everybody towards the A7 III is the fact that you can get it for literally half that cost and pretty much do the exact same thing.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, this probably has some more megapixels. They probably upgraded, you know, this little thing that doesn't matter.
Yep, it has 33 megapixels. It's got a little bit better sensor in it.
You're kind of splitting hairs. I mean, for a guy wanting to film their deer hunts.
Exactly. I mean, you can dive down any rabbit holes. You can get into the same thing with Canon, same thing with Nikon.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
I personally, and that's what I told you that day at the hunting camp was down in Ohio, was the fact that that's why I like Sony, is because you can go on Marketplace and you can buy a used lens that's completely fine for half the cost that a new one is, because the market, there's so much out there.
Yeah.
The market.
Sony hands down kind of has the best lens selection. I mean, they got everything you could possibly think of. They almost have a lens for it. Whereas Canon now, they switched their lens to some EF mount, and there's not as many lenses for their new stuff anymore. Same with Panasonic or any of the other ones. They don't have the selection that Sony does.
And that's exactly why I lead guys the direction I am. And mm-hmm. I keep going back to the Sony thing, A7 III with various lenses, because there's so many out there.
Yeah.
You can grab one, use it, not like it, and get rid of it for probably the same price that you bought it used. It's not like you're going to be getting into a market where you're like, you have this equipment that you can't get rid of because nobody wants it.
Let me ask you this, Jake. If you're going to buy that A7S III, would you buy any different lenses for, or are those two that you mentioned for the?
Yeah, they'll be completely yes. I mean, I'll show you here. I actually have, I have both those cameras that I said.
Yeah.
This is my A7 Mark IV. And I actually have, well, this one's a 16-35, but this is a wide angle. But this is about the size of that. So this is the same size as the 24-105 is.
Yep.
And this is basically anything you would need to film an entire hunt with. The A7 III with the 105, you know, 24-105 lens on it.
Yeah.
It's pretty small, like it's not really super heavy. I mean, that's the perfect, you know, intermittent level. You save, you know, you're not going to spend a bunch of money, but you're going to get the quality you want. You're going to be able to do anything you want with it, take any pictures, any video. And that's kind of like that perfect middle of the road.
Hey, let's go on to audio now. And give everybody your recommendation on, like, because the audio that you would get out of just a standard mirrorless camera is not great. So could you talk about that a little bit? And while you do that, I'm going to go take a leak real quick.
Yep. You're good.
Oh, let me get back to Jake here.
Yeah. Okay. So the biggest thing that you're going to want to spend money on after getting a camera is going to be the microphone system. So there's, you'll see so many different mics out there. You'll see little tiny Rode Wireless Go microphones the guys use, but shotgun microphones is a must if you're going to go with that A7-3 route, because you're going to want that sound quality of that deer, you know, grunting or walking in the leaves. So I personally would tell guys to go with a video mic, go something made by Rode. I think they're $100. They're not super expensive. You can get into the wireless stuff. So like the wireless system mics, any of the lavalier mic systems, that's more of the professional stuff. But like I said, the run of the mill guys, I would just get a simple Rode shotgun microphone. They're on Amazon. You can find them pretty much anywhere, but the Video Mic Go is like the pretty much the perfect go-to mic. I think they're, to be honest with you, I think they're $79.99.
Right there.
Wire. Okay. Video Mic Go. That $100.
Yeah.
That one's perfect.
Jake, does that one run on camera so power one, or does it have a battery?
That one runs right off the camera's power.
So you don't have to fiddle with batteries for it or anything.
That's what I have right here. I have it just because this is kind of my run and gun setup that I wear for myself. You just plug it into the side, runs right off the camera battery. Cause what you don't want, I mean, I have the bigger microphone systems. I have one laying here somewhere, that Video Mic Pro Plus, but what you run into is that it runs off its own microphone, its own battery. You run that battery down in the field, you can't plug it in.
Or if you leave it plugged in and don't realize it died, you don't have no audio.
Yeah. The ones that plug straight into the camera and run off the camera's battery, in my opinion, are more of the it's the better system to go with, just because if you run out of, you know, your video camera runs out of juice, well, then everything runs out of juice. I mean, it's easier. I try to dumb everything down because that's what the guys don't want, more things to worry about while they're trying to hunt, like remembering SD cards, their camera, their, you know, their batteries, their camera arm. I mean, you're getting into adding multiple other moving parts on top of just your camera, your hunting equipment and your tree stand. And then you get into saddle hunting. I mean, you're going to start just adding all this other stuff up that you don't really need.
Yeah. Okay. I think that covers audio. That's, you just get some kind of a decent shotgun mic.
Yep. Shotgun mics. Perfect.
Yep. Another good thing about those ones that run off the camera battery is all of them are cheaper than if you buy one with a extra or its own battery. So,
yeah.
Sorry, you may have already said that when I was out using the bathroom. Okay, people are asking us about GoPros. Which one would you pick? Let's talk about action cams or whatever, second angle cameras now.
So the Tacticam action cameras that go on your gun barrel or things like that, in my opinion, I think they're junk. I don't like them. You very rarely ever see a video turn out great from them. You always see like bang, you know, especially turkey hunting. You'll see a guy shoot and then it's just, you have no idea what happened.
Yeah.
And it's just all over the place and you're not going to continue to point your gun, you know, or your bow at something after you shoot to make sure it's on video. So I steer everybody away from that action camera. Now, in terms of GoPros, I think GoPros are highly underused in terms of, you know, for the industry.
I agree, dude.
They are. I love my GoPros. Mm-hmm. You throw a little, you know, microphone system on there and they are a great, great tool to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me go get mine real quick. I think it's laying.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's out in the barn. Never mind. That GoPro makes they call it a media kit for them, I believe. Yep.
Media mod,
yeah.
Yep.
And that's a really good, let me look it up here.
I think they might be $100.
Yeah, you can almost, I think you can just buy them in the.
They might even come as a kit. Like
they do.
As a GoPro with the Media Mod kit.
I think it's called the Creator Kit is what it's called. So it's this right here. And that's what the, you can see the mic on the.
Yep.
Yep. And it comes with a little light that actually is super bright. And then this grip that you can see this like little grip, this little tripod thing. This is actually an external battery too. So that's something that's not great on any action camera is the battery life usually is not real great.
No, they're really not.
Yeah. So this is actually like a charger for your GoPro. So this is what I have right here, the Hero 11. This is, I use this for, you'd be surprised at how much of my stuff is filmed with this little setup right here.
Oh yeah.
I would not get the, a lot of people like try to save money and they'll buy like the Hero 10. I've had horrible, horrible luck with the GoPro Hero 10.
Yeah, so did I. A lot of people did. And I don't know if it was in between them trying to upgrade something. I've heard, you know, mine would be, it would go to like 25 seconds, 30 seconds and just turn off on its own.
Yep. Yep. And it wouldn't, you wouldn't be able to, you'd have to take the battery out to,
it would freeze. It. Yep. It would just freeze, turn off. It was just
terrible. I would get the 8 before I would buy a 10 again. Like I hated my 10, but I have this 11 now. Have you used the 12 yet? They came out with a 12. I don't know.
I have the newest one, whatever that is. I think I have the 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I haven't heard anything bad about the 12. So no, I would either get the 11 or the 12 if I was going to buy a new one.
Yeah. And that's another thing that, you know, GoPros have been around for so long now that you can find them used a lot of places. You just surf the web and really start diving in. You can find that stuff used. Get the Media Mod. That's a phenomenal second angle point and shoot stuff. That's, for a lot of the YouTube guys, I mean, they used the heck out of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
If you're looking right there at getting a GoPro with a Media Mod and the microphone, you get the A7 III with a microphone and just one lens. I mean, you're looking at like $3,000 for pretty much everything combined, that everything you need.
Yeah. Yeah. And the GoPro, you know, that's your wide angle stuff. If you want to do some like vlogging, walking around the woods, that's all real good for that stuff.
But that covers, you know, for, that's what I mean. That $2,500 to $3,000 will cover pretty much everything you possibly need for, and you'll, that's the only thing you'll need for a couple years, probably.
Yeah. Batteries and whatnot. You got anything to add about batteries, SD cards, accessories?
So the SD cards, don't just go get yourself, you know, that when you're talking to that higher quality 4K stuff, you can't really go into just using your 32 gigabyte, generic SanDisk that you can buy from Walmart for $20. They're just not going to cut it. A little bit, you got to get the pro graded, their gold standard. I forget what they're called. The Extreme Plus.
Yeah. Maybe. Extreme. Let's see here.
I have, as you can see here, I have an entire thing of SD cards. I don't use them anymore. They're called the Extreme Plus is what I use, or that Extreme Pro.
Yeah. They're not too bad anymore. They've come down in price.
No,
that's right. For a 258, 6 gigabyte.
Yeah, that's basically right there. That's all you need. They've come down in price the past couple of years because that was one of those things. They were new, so that now they're coming back down.
Yeah.
And it's never been easier for guys to get into it than right now.
Yeah.
Because everything is used out there on the market that I think is completely good quality that you've seen guys either producing content from or, you know, the past couple of years. It's the stuff's out there. You can get it. It's not like you got to spend the top tier dollar to get anything to
right.
make it worthwhile.
Yep. Batteries. Are you okay with like those aftermarket, like third party batteries?
Yeah. I haven't had much problems with them. I've noticed that they don't have the length of life. You know, let's say an hour straight filming with the native Sony batteries and like maybe 50 minutes with the other ones, the cheaper.
Yeah, but you're talking a quarter of the price sometimes. Yeah,
like I have a whole bunch. I mean, I got an entire bag of batteries. Yeah. But when you get to the level, like when I go on video shoots, I make sure I have batteries out the wazoo and
right.
have extra SD cards. I mean, I get anal about that stuff, but
yeah. I mean, you're talking about like a native Sony battery would be $80 and then the knockoffs will be like 20 if not sometimes less. So that's a good way to save a little bit of money. Usually your camera, if you buy one, is going to have the native with it. And then you can just buy like on Amazon, some of the cheaper knockoff ones.
And just for guys out there that get into this, get in a habit of if you do film out in the field, as soon as you get home, dump the footage onto a hard drive or your computer and then charge your stuff that night. Like just try and be diligent on and making a structure on every time you come back inside to do something. Otherwise, what happens is a lot of guys in the beginning get lazy with it because it's something they're not used to.
Yeah. So
leave their camera in their truck. You know,
right.
And they film
dead the next day.
Instead, the next day they're going into the tree, and then they're like, "Well, I'm not taking this today. There's no point." Then they see something that they really wish they would have got on film, and it was just simply because they were a little bit lazy and didn't go back and do the necessary steps. It is when you get into filming, it is another thing to worry about, but it is rewarding when you get to go back and watch the footage of something you've seen and show your buddies at either hunting camp or your dad, your family, your friends. It's pretty rewarding.
Let's talk about we haven't talked about camera arms and like fluid heads. What camera arm do you run?
I currently have a couple of them. I've been running in the beginning I ran a super heavy Muddy.
Oh yeah. That used to be like the only people that made them back in the day, good ones.
Yeah, they were. I mean, that thing was a brick, but it did not move on the tree. It was solid. Right now, I am running a Fourth Arrow. They're called their Mini Light series or something. It's got the holes through it. I run it because it's just a little bit lighter to lighten my load on my pack, especially if I'm going to carry different lenses.
Well, there's Levi Morgan. It must be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at the camera he's using. I think it's one of those ZV.
No, it's a AX, one of the AX. AX30. Which is one you mentioned, I think.
Yep. Yeah, but it's you're looking right there, $100 for your cheapest one.
Yeah.
Which is one of their best sellers because it's the cheapest.
Right. Would you buy the cheapest one though, or would you recommend?
No, see, I have the satellite kit.
Right here.
Yeah.
That's what I have. Yeah. That's the same one I run.
It's just because I like the three-way capabilities of the arm, especially with me saddle hunting to move around. The fluid head ain't bad on it. I would say to upgrade, I personally would upgrade the fluid head to Manfrotto or something along those lines.
Yeah.
There's so many different fluid heads out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys run that small rig one.
I think I know which one you're talking about. The small rig fluid head.
Yeah, it's super. That's why I have a couple of them.
There's so many names for all this. It's hard for me to remember.
Yeah. I think it's this one right here is one I have. No, that's not it. Right here.
So, CH10, the compact fluid head.
Yep.
Does that tighten down with I'm drawing a blank.
It has.
No, yeah. Okay. It's a side Titan.
Yeah. Why do you ask? Or what were you thinking, Jake?
So if you look up, there's a new company out there that I don't know if they'll have them on that. It's called Tricer. So it's basically it was made for spotting scopes, things like that, that instead of tightening it down on the side, so you're, you know how you have your handle, your camera handle, all you have to do is like turn it to the right and it'll tighten it down as you're like moving it. So if you're moving on a deer, all you have to do is like tighten it like a screwdriver and it stays locked in place.
This one here?
Yeah.
Huh.
That tricer fluid head.
That's nice.
Yeah. So
it'll be way quicker.
Yeah. It's very quick.
Or more hands free, I guess, is probably the best. Yeah. I'll have to look into that thing.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet. My buddy had it out west when I was hunting elk with him and he was using it, and I put my camera on and it was just, I could move it around quick and then tighten it and lock it into place and not touch it. You know, it's the more quick, you know.
Yeah.
The less movement.
Yeah. Cause with
less fiddling with things,
with almost better. All, at least the ones I've ever seen or used, you know, you're talking about, you know, you got to adjust on the side, it's for the, and we're talking about like the tilt of the camera. Yes. Cause if you have it too loose, the camera will keep moving on you.
Yep.
It's hard to explain unless you filled with a fluid head, but, that's a good setup there.
Yeah.
So,
but you're gonna, you know, if you're getting into film and hunts, you're going to have to buy it. I mean, this is what guys don't think of, you know, they're just like, oh, I want to buy a camera and start filming my hunts. Well, you have to have a camera arm. You got to have a fluid head to put it on. You have to have a microphone.
You got to have a
computer to drop the footage on.
Yep.
Have a hard drive to save that footage. Otherwise, it's going to take up all your memory on your computer.
Yeah.
It's a lot, but that's why we're kind of going over all this.
Oh, yeah. I love it, too. I mean, it's obviously my passion. So it's very rewarding when you get a deer on video and you can make a video about it. So
yeah.
Did we cover everything?
Last but not least, I think would be the hard drives or the how to read basically onto your computer. Basically hard drive. I got little tiny SanDisk ones. You're gonna need probably something along the lines of this. It's just a little adapter to go into your computer.
Yep.
To read SD cards, to read basically straight from the camera if you want, or to view, you know, HDMI ports. They're just small accessory gadgets that basically that you're gonna need.
Yeah.
To be and able they, to
it'll them. Like $100 bill you every like it's $100 bill you to death, like all those little things, because a couple terabyte storage is I don't know, a couple $100, $100 to $200. Mm-hmm. One of those things you were just showing is, you know, you could
$60.
Yeah. Bucks. Almost $100 again. So all the little things you got to think about, because you can't dump your footage. Like you can't keep store like something like that onto a computer. It'll wear it out.
Well, it'll bog it. Yeah. It'll bog it down to the point where it's going to be slow, glitchy, and not be
almost unusable. So you want to get some kind of external drive.
So that's when you, if all said and done, if you get the cheapest stuff like that ZV1 with a microphone, let's say a microphone, that shotgun mic's $100. I think don't quote me on this, but you're still looking with a camera arm, all the accessories, not a computer, because computers, they can range from, there's $1,000 ones, $3,000, but you're still looking at almost $2,000 between the camera, the accessories, the camera arm, and what you need to film. You're looking at almost $2,000 worth of gear.
Yep.
I mean, batteries, all the everything.
Yep.
Looking at almost $2,000 for the cheapest worthwhile.
Yeah, right. Outside of just go ahead and use your phone if you don't, if you're not going to spend that.
But that brings me back to the point, why not use your cell phone? Because it has pretty good sound quality.
Yeah, that's what it's made for, right?
Yeah.
Talking to.
Yeah, the cell phones are, and that's, so if you're not looking to spend $2,000 to get the setup, why not have a brand new cell phone? And at the same time, then you'd be able to learn from that and shoot horizontal and start monkeying with different softwares, you know, that they have built onto the phones now, apps, CapCut.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of stuff is made with the cell phone anymore.
That's something else to note. Like if you're going to film with the cell phone, a lot of people will just film like this. You make sure you film landscape or whatever.
What I can't stand is the guys that start it like this and then halfway through will tilt it.
Yeah.
I've seen that so much. They're like, oh yeah, here comes a deer, and they switched it. The orientation's all different.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. It's hard. Like people start filming like this all the time, and then that's unusable for like a guy like me. You have to have it, you know, sideways, but whatever, 16 by 9.
So. Yeah, but I mean, even these cell phones nowadays, I mean, they're 4K, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I can shoot in RAW to be able to color grade and do all this crazy stuff with a lot of, I mean, you start following some of these guys on socials. I there's some pictures that you've seen me post that are cell phone pictures that people have no idea about.
Yeah.
That I color graded, made them look nice. I mean, they're pretty amazing when you actually dive into a cell phone's capabilities.
Oh yeah. Yep. Well, man, we've been on here for over an hour now, so I think we went over everything, gave people at least some options and things to think about.
Yeah.
So
getting into self filming, man, it's fun, but it's going to, I'd say to save at least 1500 to 2000 before you dive into it.
Right.
To take that step, because otherwise you're just kind of wasting your money.
Yeah. Yep. Well, man, how can people reach out to you or find you on social media?
So my personal stuff is Jake Belinda on social media. And then The Void Hunt on YouTube. I got a bunch of hunts that I'm working on actually right now, this week, next week, week after. They'll all be coming down the pipeline, hopefully by May, and be caught up completely by the end of the summer.
There you go. I got your stuff linked below in the description too. So if you guys want to go check out Jake, thanks, man. You're a wealth of knowledge when it comes to cameras.
Yeah, if anybody ever has any other questions, they can reach out to me, DM. I'm all ears. I try to help guys out where I can.
Yep. Have a good one, guys. Thanks for watching. See you, man. Appreciate it.